WrestleTalkRadio.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio. Oh.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team.
I'm Al Snow.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom. Or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Fox.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters. Hi, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults, but obviously I am the only adult here.
Omega.
You'll do my bidding or taste my wrath.
Mace.
You can't get away from me, Vince. I'm coming for you. Pull that bus over. I'll drag you out of there and beat the piss out of you, you billionaire bastard.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Who in the blue hell are you?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Luckily, we are not one, we are three tonight. I am Omega, the be-all and all of the WTR Network. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
Good day, all.
Mace, you sound sexier than usual.
Yeah, I've been working out.
I can hear it. I can hear it. How's the new job working out?
New job is awesome.
Well, glad to know you're doing well, Mace. And of course, sitting confused over on the other side of the table, it is the one and only, thank God, Tim Stein.
I'm not confused. I know what's going on. You're talking to Lindsay and pretending it's Mace. Why? I don't know. Oh, yes, I do. Mace has a real job for a change.
He went to be productive. It sucks.
He's working for an internet service provider. Hey, Rock. There's your inside joke, motherfucker. Whoops, I dropped something. It's okay, I picked it up. Hi, how you doing, guys?
I'm pulling myself from a very, very fun video game to be here tonight.
Really? What's the video game?
It's called Borderlands.
Never heard of it.
I told him he didn't have to be here.
You told Omega he didn't have to be here?
Yeah.
Wow. You wanted me all to yourself.
No, I wanted Rock all to myself.
Well, you see, there's the rub, right? I'd be here too.
Knock it off, Tim. You're old enough to be your ancestor.
I'd get mad at you if you weren't technically correct. Technically. But that's okay. Young women like me for some reason. It's weird. Or at least three of them do.
Who?
I'm not paying them. You should know better than to even think about asking that question before that one gets raised.
No, I want names. Who?
Well, I want names and the mental homes they're in.
Yes.
Okay, one of them is named Annie and the other one's named Jessica. They're both Canadian and they both live north of here. And that's as much detail as I can give you without incriminating either myself or them.
And that's also two. You said at least three.
Well, the third one is I can't say a damn thing about right now. That's all. What, you need more than two?
You said three. We demanded names. So you give us a third name.
Two names are enough. That's all there is to it.
No, no. Yes, then only two count.
No. Don't be silly. So there. So officially, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio, WTR Sunday Night, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Yes, we are Maceless. Mace has actually gotten a job with some IISP or whatever it is. I don't know what it's called. But unfortunately, looks like we won't have the pleasure of his company unless we have like a major WWE pay-per-view and he can book it off. Or he gets fired.
But you better not get fired.
Well, we're about to start the line on if and when that happens.
No, we're not.
I don't see why we shouldn't. Yeah, there you see Omega's playing along. Omega says 3 months. Rock, do you have a guess?
I'm giving him 8 months, 7 days, and 5 hours.
Oh, for Christ's sake. Do you have to be that general? Can't you specify, like come any closer?
And 38 seconds?
That means okay. He'll get fired around my birthday.
There we go. Yeah.
See, I'm thinking of you, Omega. Just thinking of you.
That'll be Omega's birthday present, because no way in hell we're shelling out money to buy him anything.
No, but I think everyone should chip in and get you a cowboy hat for Christmas, Tim.
Cowboy hat.
Yeah, mini cowboy hat.
Because I lost my cowboy hat in a move, I don't know how long ago.
Yes, we all need to get Tim Stein a mini cowboy hat for his head.
By the way, it's not just howdy, it's howdy y'all.
Well, no, that all depends on where you're from. You see, you're from the South, so you'd say howdy y'all, and then out here in Calgary, you'd say howdy, or heidi, or howdy.
Never once heard you say howdy till just now.
Well, no, you've never heard me say it because you don't live out here and you're not interacting with me on an hourly basis. But yeah, no, I do actually say those words. I say howdy. And I don't think twice about it. As a matter of fact, my ex-wife used to give me grief all the time. She thought I was like being, what's the phrase? Putting on, an affectation.
But I've interacted with you on a daily basis and I've never, for like, what, 5 years now? 4 years, something like that, and I've never once heard you say howdy. So
that, not that you can remember.
Oh, I can remember plenty. You've never once said it. You usually say yo. You've never said howdy.
Yeah, and you don't remember whether or not I've ever said howdy to you or not, and I don't remember if I ever did it. But you know, it's something I say, not something I type.
Uh-huh.
Oh, welcome back to Marco Murray. I have missed you so much.
Yeah,
who?
He could have stayed out. Just saying.
No, he couldn't have.
Yeah, he could have. I'm just saying.
No, no. Okay. He's been out for like 5 weeks with a broken foot. I am so happy to see him back.
Yeah,
for the three to five people listening who don't know what the hell they're going back and forth about, it's Philadelphia Eagles taking on the Dallas Cowboys. Score right now 17-10. Dallas has the ball, and they're making the Philadelphia Eagles look good, except for that last run.
Well, a lot of runs tonight, but anyway.
Anyway, that's beside the point. I do say howdy. I do.
Mm-hmm. Whatever you say, Tim.
We believe you, Tim.
No, you don't, but I don't give a fuck. No, seriously, I don't. I really don't give a fuck you believe me or not. I know what's true, and that's all that matters. So.
Okay. As long as you're secure in your howdiness, that's okay.
In my howdiness? Is that like rowdiness? Rowdy howdy? Howdy rowdy? I've said that a few times, too, to friends.
What's the first story?
So wait, we're not friends? Okay, I see how it is. I see. You know, okay. I got
this. He's just using you, Rock. He's using all of us.
I can tell.
I was wondering if and when who was going to pick on. I almost wanted to like put up a line for myself, but I'd win no matter what if I did. Who was going to actually bring it up first? It was actually down between Rock and Lindsay. I didn't expect Omega to actually say anything about it, so. Oh, look at this. Oh, he made it to the end zone. Ryan. TD, how's that feel, Rockin'? Hey, you know, with the extra, they tie it up. I got a funny feeling Kane Kittens is cheering for Dallas.
Yes, Kane Kittens is cheering for Dallas. I concede victory to him because he's officially beating me in fantasy football. Congratulations, Kane Kittens.
Yeah, I don't care which one of these teams win. I just hope the game doesn't suck from here on out. That's all.
Well, it just got interesting. That's for damn sure.
There you go. Because, like, I'm a football fan. I don't have any one real team that I support massively for the NFL. If I did, I'd suppose it'd be the Green Bay Packers.
Packers are a good choice. Yeah, Falcons are a better choice, by the way. Go Falcons.
Yeah,
go Cardinals.
I don't jump back. When I decide on an allegiance for a team, I stick with them. I mean, sure, if they don't make it to like the Super Bowl, then whatever. I'm hoping for a good game, which is not that common an occurrence in the Super Bowl, I'm sorry to say.
So. No, because they get about like 6 weeks off, and it just, yeah.
Yeah. But Omega is champing at the bait here for us to stop talking about football, because I get a feeling that he doesn't like it that much, and he'd rather talk wrestling otherwise. He'll probably just go and play his video games.
I was just offended to what you were doing to the word howdy.
The Colts won today.
Wait a minute. Omega offended by me bastardizing the word howdy?
Let's not get back to howdy. I do not give a howdy duty about howdy.
Wait, well, wasn't Captain Howdy the demon in The Exorcist?
I don't know.
As a matter of fact, yes, he was. Oh, there's some trivia for you. All right, Omega, the progression of The Shield in WWE on Raw. Do you like how they've been handled so far?
I still hate the name.
Still hate the name. Never mind.
Looking for someone in a suit of armor and someone dressed as an American flag.
I'm actually looking for the Avengers. I'm sorry.
yeah, suit of armor. Guy dressed as American flag. Hello?
Yeah, I'm looking for
Tim.
The shield with a star on it.
You're here, Tim.
Earth to Tim, yeah, yes, yes, yes. I'm just saying. But aside from the name, how do you like how things have progressed with them? Meet the storyline.
So far, I mean, I don't know, they're trying to claim that, well, you know, we're here to hold up, you know, they're supposed to be here for good reasons, you know. So, you know, we continuously, you know, attack good guys who aren't really doing anything wrong, but, well, you know. It's one of those transparent heel groups, you know, you're right to censor, for instance, where you can't buy them. Like, the first promo I didn't think was that bad.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm just not a fan. I don't know. I'm just not a fan of the direction. You know, like, if you've got a, like, I prefer, like, a heel faction that groups together because they have a set mission, not because, not, you know, not this charade that they put on trying to convince people that they're not up to something.
Mm-hmm. Well, what does Lindsay think about the direction they've stepped into so far? Keeping in mind, of course, guys, there hasn't been all that much. They haven't been around all that long.
Again, I'm with Omega. I hate the name. I think they could do better. They either need to remain nameless or they need to come up with something better. But I like the way that they're handling them. I like the way that they're treating them so far. They're doing with them what TNA should be doing with Aces and Eights, which is they don't really have, you don't really know what they're about yet. But they're not standardized members on the roster yet. Mm-hmm. And hopefully they don't go there for a while with them. They're coming in, they're interfering in matches, they seem to have a mission statement, and they're sticking to it.
I see. Are they working for Paul Heyman, guys? Come on.
Probably,
yeah.
Despite all the denials and everything, and there has been absolutely no hint of any interaction at all whatsoever, will that come off to the casual viewer as a bigger deal if and when this is actually revealed?
Not when they're teasing it the way that they are. Like, if they actually find out, oh, yeah, these are Punk's guys, or they're Paul Heyman guys, then, all, you know, then you've got all these run-ins on Raw where it's, or anywhere, really, that's been so beneficial to CM Punk and helping him keep his championship against the invincible Ryback.
Mm-hmm.
I think if anything, they're working for Heyman, but they're not in on it with Punk, or Punk isn't in on it with Heyman, and somehow something's telling me this is going to eventually lead to Punk's downfall and the splitting of Heyman and Punk.
Oh, you think that's really?
I don't know. But I can see them going there with that, where Heyman is bringing these guys in. He's trying to help Punk. He's doing it behind Punk's back. And then, because Heyman is pretty much capable of anything. We all know this.
Yeah.
So I can see him doing something like that.
He comes across great as the slime ball that he plays. I mean,
right.
Whether he's an actual slime ball or not, I don't know. I've never met the guy. But, boy, he sure plays a good one on TV.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can see him doing anything, and it's not really even to protect Punk. It's more to protect his position with Punk.
Yeah.
Because as long as Punk is champion, Heyman's got it made.
Yeah.
Especially if he's got Punk's ear.
Yeah. Well, you know, the phrasing on Monday is, are you working for Punk or with Punk, or, you know, along that line? There was no mention of Paul Heyman at all whatsoever. I don't know. That, to me, that almost feels like a clue. And if you pay attention to WWE over the years, they do have a habit of giving people clues either by omission or misdirection, almost like sleight of hand. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if this was obvious or if this was subtle, but, you know, that phrasing brought up by the producer, to remind us all, that, is subtle enough that it could be a clue that, yeah, they are working for Heyman. What do you think?
It's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure WWE is clever enough for that.
Well, are you giving them a little bit short shrift on credit there as far as WWE being clever or not, as the case may be?
Sorry, WWE isn't that clever, but Heyman and Punk are.
You know, it's it boils down to the cleverness of creative. And you gotta give them the benefit of the doubt. They know how to do something smart, but they also know how to do something for the casual viewer, not as hardcore SOBs, but the casual person, you know, just tunes in. And there are a lot, you know, I run into a lot of people who will watch Raw, but they don't go crazy on the internet like we all do. We got a guy who tunes in and listens occasionally. You guys all remember Fast Eddie. And it just brings it home to me how into the fantasy of the booking some people get when he asks me questions that I don't even think about because, I don't know, maybe I'm looking too much into the insider aspect of it. You know what I mean? If that makes any sense to you guys at all, I don't know.
It sort of makes sense.
It's back to the argument we've had before over do dirt sheets kind of ruin the experience of, you know, being a wrestling fan. You know, and it's true. You know, there's weeks I wish I, you know, didn't know as much as I do.
Yeah. No, I can't disagree with you on that. I mean, I catch myself, every now and then, just feeling jaded when I watch Raw or SmackDown because it's that, you know, that insider knowledge, again, that you're talking about that you only get with the dirt sheets, whether it's, yeah, factual or made up by some kid who just wants you to read his piece so you can click on his link and he makes 10 cents. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then there are times, a lot of the times, I'm able to just sit back, tune everything else out, watch the show, and just get into the show itself and judge on my own from what I see and not what I think I know, whether or not it's entertaining. And The Shield being revealed as working for Heyman without Punk's involvement is something I can, you know, I can see the intriguing aspect of that for the people that don't go to these dirt sheets that you talk about. What do you think?
Yeah, if you didn't know what was going on the way you do, then
yeah. Yep.
Of course, but you can say that about any WWE angle.
Yeah. See, my problem is when I come up for ideas for wrestling shows, right, you know, and I'm thinking, okay, let's book this, let's book that, let's do this, and I'm always thinking, well, what can we do that makes it less of a straightforward wrestling match but an oh-my-God moment for the fans, for the people that come to the indie shows, you know? And when I do that and then I look at Raw, sometimes it is so ridiculously transparent to me what they're doing. I see it. I get it. And other times, it's like a WTF moment. Now, with the Shield, it's kind of not a WTF moment, but a wait and see. What are they going to do? I'm curious.
It's keeping you guessing.
Yeah.
And that's what wrestling needs. That's the best kind of drama. It makes you guess, makes you think. And with the way they're handling the Shield, you kind of know where they're going. At the same time, there could be twists that, you know.
Yeah, maybe it's not Heyman who's behind them, but somebody else that hasn't been revealed yet.
It's John Laurinaitis.
Oh, God, no.
You know, don't say, oh, God, no, all you want.
Don't scare me like that.
Something along that line is not necessarily a bad idea.
It's not.
For us, it is. I mean, let's face it. But
something along that line, okay.
Yeah,
but not that.
For Sean and Tracy, who live upstairs and only tune in because there's nothing else on, then it's like, oh, holy cow. You know? Right? So, yeah. But you guys caught the promo from them on Monday, Lindsay?
I did, yes.
I was
actually watched Raw all the way through.
Yeah. What'd you think of their promo?
I thought it was very well done.
Mm-hmm.
All three can talk, and I like that they're making Reigns. That's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of that silent but deadly type, where he only talks when he needs to or when he has something to say, which I like.
Yeah.
He's there as the enforcer, and so he's playing that role. You have Ambrose and Rollins, who are the talkers, and then Reigns is the backup.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Every faction needs a muscle.
There you go. What's your opinion, Omega?
I'm kind of in that same vein. Reigns, when he did speak, he wasn't quite as on point as the others, but that's fine for someone who's in that silent enforcer role.
Yeah.
So it's not only a good use of him, it's a good way to protecting anything that he's a little rusty on right now.
Yeah. No, I get what you're talking about completely, because my thoughts and opinions on the entire thing is, yeah, you know, they're on the right track, but they need more polish.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment.
But they're on the right track.
I'll say this, for three guys that just came up from developmental, it was outstanding.
Mm-hmm. But when you start to think about it, yes, it came up from developmental, but how much do they have behind them working elsewhere to lead up to the characters they're in right now?
Well, yeah, but keep in mind, like, how many guys have we seen come up from WWE developmental where, you know, they're outstanding athletes, they have everything going for them, but, you know, you put them in front of a gigantic WWE audience, you put them on live TV, and they're not always on point.
Yeah.
I mean, let's see, good example, someone I thought was criminally underused, John Morrison.
Yeah.
He's freaking outstanding in the ring, but he just never had it when you put a microphone in front of him.
Well, you know, I don't know about whether he ever had it or not. I mean, he did cut a few, he had some gems when they put the mic in his hand. I mean, it wasn't consistent, but we've had a lot of very successful superstars in the upper elite who were just as adept or inept, depending on how you look at it and what time of the day it is with Morrison. And it's just, you know, basically his failure is not his failure, but the failure of creative to believe in him. I think that's my opinion. I don't know. What do you think, Lindsay?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. Morrison did cut some good promos, but then again, it's also who wrote his script that week.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of it can't be placed, a lot of the blame can't be placed on him, because we know for a fact that when he was giving those promos, it wasn't him talking. It was a writer in the back who was talking for him.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, Morrison doesn't have the free reign that Hunter or Punk or some of the others have to say what he wants.
And now, see, there's a thing. We don't know how he could be if he was left to improvise more his promo.
Actually, we do. If you go out on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
Morrison did a battle rap between The Undertaker and Triple H. No, I'm serious. Did it on, and it's up on YouTube, and it's fucking hilarious, and it's all Morrison. There's one guy that plays Paul Bearer, but all the rest is entirely John Morrison.
So if he's able to do something like that and catches your eye on YouTube, why couldn't he catch the eye of creative and have them say, okay, go out and say something? As opposed to go out and hit these points.
Because it's not catching the eye of creative that's the problem. It's catching the eye of Vince and the agents that's the problem. Mm-hmm. If Vince and the agents look at you and they say, oh, well, you can't talk, you need to be scripted, it's very, very, very difficult to break out of that mold. If you watch Punk's DVD, which we don't know how much of that is scripted and how much is not, but take it at your word for CM Punk, it's very difficult. No. Because a lot of guys and a lot of girls are scripted, and a lot of people are actually very comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't want to break out of the mold. They like the fact that they're handed a script and they can just read it, and that's all they have to do. And you hear a lot of the older guys saying that a lot of the kids today don't have the fire that the guys and the girls did back in the day. They're comfortable with sitting on their ass and collecting a paycheck, and that's it.
Uh huh.
We've seen that a lot more. Just to kind of reinforce that point, I'll be the mark and bring up RVD. You know, where he had so little to do on the mic that when he had toys made of him that had like talking gimmicks to him, the lines were dude and whatever. And that's, you know, that's Vince going, you know, this guy can't talk. Don't ever put a mic in front of him. You know, and, but, you know, I'll point to another YouTube video, it was on YouTube, and I can't remember who did it was the angle going to the Olympics.
Funny or Die, I believe.
Funny or Die, thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, RVD was fantastic in that. Of course, that's all scripted.
Mm-hmm.
And Lindsay's right. I mean, it's all about, you know, how much faith the upper management has with you and who's writing the script that day.
Yeah.
But to kind of take it back to the Shield, I like how they're, as far as they're handling them, I like that they have taken them and they have not done what they've done with Ryback and Brodus Clay, which is you just stick them in squash matches and you pretty much just have them squash people. They brought them in and they put them in a storyline right away.
Mm-hmm.
They made them important from the get-go and they matter. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why they're more enjoyable than, say, some of the other people that have come up before them. Is, you know, they matter, they count because, oh, hey, look at that. They're impacting something with one of the bigger name guys. So automatically you care what they're going to do, whereas, you know, Ryback squishes two local guys that you've never heard of and you're never going to hear of again. Who gives a flying fuck, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think I like how they've done that, where they've taken them and they've taken these guys and they've stuck them into a storyline right away.
Yeah.
And they're handling them the way, at least right now, they should be handled.
So basically, we get the whole start of the entire thing, then we'll get the backstory, and you prefer it that way than the massive major buildup to something that is inevitably disappointing because it's not what you expected.
Right. And you have them come in, you have them make the impact, then you start to get the backstory as the story begins to build, and as they continue to do what they're doing, you learn more and more and more about them and their reasoning behind what they're doing until you hit that climax.
Yeah.
And then it becomes very evident why they're doing what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense to me. Pretty much, kind of. But, you know, that whole discourse there, just, it made me think of the redo. You know, the Incredible Hulk?
Oh.
You know, how they handled the redo.
One that Ang Lee didn't do.
Yeah, the one that didn't suck as bad as the first one.
Right.
I mean, that's exactly what they did. They started the movie basically halfway through him being tracked down. Then they hit the flashbacks and fleshed out the backstory.
Right.
And that, to me, made the movie interesting enough to watch. Make sense?
I'll take your word for it. I haven't seen the second Incredible Hulk. I didn't see the first one either, so.
Shame. Oh.
Yeah, you
know what? I wasn't a Hulk fan until the Avengers happened, and then I became a fan of the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah. You know, both movies would probably disappoint you if you like Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah,
as Hulk.
I like Mark Ruffalo as well, as Hulk.
Yeah, Mark Ruffalo.
Both movies are going to disappoint you. So, yeah. That's just...
Wait for Incredible Hulk 2, though.
So, yeah, is Ruffalo reprising for the sequel? I know he's going to be in Avengers 2, but...
Yeah, based solely on how well-received he was as Banner.
Yeah, actually, you know, when I first saw the Avengers, I was like, yeah, I don't know. And then halfway through the movie, I'm like, okay, I get it.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed at first because it's the only character that didn't, it's the only actor that didn't come from one of the previous movies, which that was the whole thing they were building up. You know, all these different characters, all these different stars that we've built ourselves, and now they're all in one movie, which is an amazing thing to be able to pull off, except it didn't work for Ed Norton.
Completely, no.
Which, but we're okay with that.
We're okay with that.
Norton didn't do a bad job.
Norton didn't do a bad job from what I've heard, but Ruffalo just has that demeanor as Banner that just works.
Yeah, well, like I say, I did not know how to accept Ruffalo as the character. I mean, Eric Bana just did not come across to me as a doctor, you know, Dr. David Bruce Banner. I'm sorry. I mean, Eric Bana was great as Nero, but not so much as the other green guy, right, Omega?
Welcome to Otaku Talk Live here on the Law Talk Radio Network.
Hey, so we started with an analogy and then we got into talking about the movie. So what? Come on.
I ain't complaining.
I am playing the part of Mace tonight, so...
Well, I don't know. If you're playing the part of Mace, you'd be talking more about comic books and shit.
So if this is OTL, that would make Tim Spug?
Oh,
no. I think Spug just took offense somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Never mind how it made Tim feel. Thanks, Omega.
No, I'm just saying, like... Right now, Spug is off somewhere going, I feel a disturbance in the Force.
I sense something. A presence I haven't felt since... And then without finishing, he fucks off. There you go. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so that's the whole thing with the Shield. I guess we'll just have to wait till tomorrow night, a whole 24-some-odd hours to get further developments on it, hey? That's how it works. So, I tell you what, guys, why don't we take our first little time out of the evening. You'll listen to WTR, Sunday Night Rust Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Kids, thanks for joining us. Get more people to tune in. And you know what? We'll open up the call-in lines a little bit later on if anybody wants to call in just to say hello or even talk wrestling. Don't forget, tonight is another edition of Pick 'Em. This week, we are going to attempt to pick the winners of TNA's Final Resolution coming up next Sunday night. So make sure you stick around for that. Kane Kitts is in the chat room ready to take down your picks for the winner. We're going to play for fun for this week, guys. But that being said, we'll be back right after this quick little timeout. Hey, you. Yes, you listening to WTR. You got an iPod, MP3 player, or some kind of Android device? Well, then why don't you go and get Tweaked?
Squeaked Audio is high-performance, noise-reducing earbuds for simply awesome audio. There's four styles and six colors to choose from, so Squeaked Audio has a pair for everyone. You'll love the intense sound of all the Squeaked Audio products. They guarantee it. In fact, you get a lifetime limited warranty with all the shit they sell. Designed to sound great for music and talk, engineered for durability. Get your buds in red, blue, green, black, silver, or wood. Okay, that's not really a color, but they look pretty f***ing sweet. Four styles to choose from. Tweaked California, Tweaked Classic, Tweaked Parkour, and Tweaked Natural. Tweaked Audio earbuds retail from $19.95 to $34.95, but they're giving WTR listeners a deal. Because Wild Talk Radio rules and our fans rock. Just use the special code WILDTALK or WTR. Get your buds starting at only $12.95. Head on over to tweakedaudio.com. Grab a pair. Get tweaked. Tweaked Audio.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is X-Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise scene, but this.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Thursday night, the Wild Talk Radio Network gets a little bit more impactful with The Rack, bringing you the most in-depth coverage of TNA's Impact Wrestling, which includes all of our favorite stars, such as Chavo Guerrero, Zema Ion, Tessmacher, Robbie E.
Wait, who wrote this? No, I'm changing this.
We'll talk all about my favorite stars of Impact Wrestling, including Christopher Daniels, James Storm, Samoa Joe, Joseph Parks, Austin Aries, and more. It's The Rack, Thursday nights, live 11 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The Rack, named after some breath. That's awesome.
Hey man, what's your name?
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop and I'm a dumb white guy.
Why are you sitting there all alone?
Can't brush them teeth since 1983.
Well, that ain't good.
The drummer from the Bumper's only got one eye.
You're kinda weird. You always sing everything you say?
Yeah, I don't give a damn if you don't like me.
Hey, I didn't say anything like that. Man, in fact, I was gonna ask if you wanna do something if you're not too busy. What you doing around Wednesday, around 8:30?
Eat Spam from the can, watch late night C-SPAN, and rock out to old school Duran Duran.
Well, I know this awesome wrestling show on WildTalkRadio.com. Just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry and the Cheapwood Paneling. They talk about all the wrestling news of the week. Want to listen in? Maybe even call in?
Hell yeah!
Cool. Now, stop looking at me that way.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I don't roll that way. But there is this guy on the show. His name's Joey Gay.
I marry the business. I do what I want to do. I'll beat your coffin green and then I'll sneeze on you.
Bloodlights don't scare me.
Neither do your druids. Your joints are so bad, they're leaking cartilage and fluids. You can't play the game. You got the agility of Scott Steiner. You don't look so scary wearing all that guy liner. I'll stretch you out of Miami like they did in Atlanta. When you get Future Endeavored, say hi to Colt Cabana. You retire and come back more often than Ric Flair. You're paying alimony. I married a billionaire. At WrestleMania, I'll be the cause of your death. Then DM Lemmy from Motorhead, cause he's my BFF.
I'm the Undertaker, you'll never break my streak. Bend over, I'll make you humble like the Iron Sheik. You orange, insecure, pompous little prick. Your movies are worse than your gimmick with Katie Vick.
That's
I crawled out of my coffin through the dirt. I'll boot you so hard, Stephanie, you'll feel the hurt.
Ow.
The game, Triple H, cerebral assassin. When you use your scary voice, I can't help from laughing. You seem pretty confident about my streak going away. Last guy who said that was your homeboy, HBK. Put some water on the dead man's nuts. Screw your pedigree. I'll make you tap like a bitch. I'll watch UFC.
UFC fan!
I'll eliminate you like Maven did in the Royal Rumble.
Just like Godwin in the Hog Pen, I'll make you crumble.
At least I've never been accompanied to the ring by Fred Durst.
That match with the Ultimate Warrior was the worst.
Sables,
you're older than that chick from Harold and Maude.
Watch your step before you tear your quad.
You're on Santa Claus's schedule working one day a year.
Get back behind your desk and start your new career.
Paperwork!
I didn't even say rest in peace. It's one of my catchphrases.
You're lucky I didn't hit you with my flawless Giant Gonzalez rhyme.
Don't make fun of Fred Durst. He's got a nice red hat.
I had a fish taco with Lemmy one time.
I like hats.
I was great in that school bus movie.
I never saw The Chaperone.
It's personal.
2012 Hell in a Cell. 2013 Punjabi Prison Match.
Oh no! Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
It's me, it's me, it's that D-O-double-G mobbing once again with Wild Talk Radio. And if you ain't down with that, I got two words for ya. Suck it!
Back yet. Anyway, welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Would be nice, you know, he's doing a show and decides to make a phone call.
Yeah, that would be nice.
It'd be nice, you know, to pay attention to the show. He only does one show a week.
Well, so does Omega.
This is true. And, you know.
Yeah, at least I'm here.
At least you're here. You pulled yourself away from a video game.
Sure I did.
Yeah, by the sounds of it, you're still playing.
No, I stopped playing the game so I could, you know, do the show.
Is Omega still playing with himself?
I'm not playing with myself because I don't have an action figure.
Yeah.
Yes, just like Samoko told us one time, it's okay to play with yourself as long as you're an action figure. So, what were you guys talking about? I was busy. I had some business to deal with. I had to talk to Vinny Fever and take care of a little business, guys. Sorry about that.
We were making fun of you for, you know, taking phone calls during your show because you only do one show a week.
Well, people who know me know that I do the show, and they wind up calling while I'm doing the show. I try to control it. Just, you know, people I know are just like you guys. You never fucking listen to me.
Why would we ever do that?
Because it would be smart.
No, it wouldn't.
Yeah, it would. Don't you even start with me, Junior.
Call me Junior.
Respect,
now.
Okay, here. This is one of the very few and only times I'm ever going to do this. Respect your elders.
So you're actually
I'm older than you. I'm not saying I'm an old guy, but I am older than you.
Uh-huh. You're echoing.
Shut up. Am I echoing?
Yeah.
I'm going to blame you. It's all your
Mm-hmm. Whatever you say to him.
It's your fault. You're to blame. Am I still echoing?
No, you're good now.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Well, yeah, I did what I could to try to fix this old computer so it would work properly, and I wound up shelling out $68 on Saturday. And
oh my God, you could have bought a new one for that.
Actually, I bought one for $40.
No, she said new. New.
Oh, new. Oh, I can't get a new computer for $68. Trust me, I've tried.
Okay, if you took the $68 and the $40 you spent, you're getting closer to a new one.
There you go. Well, essentially, you know, for the money that I shelled out, you know, the money I shelled out may have gotten me one new computer or close to it. I've got two up and running that are fantastic right now. So that's perfectly
fine. Right now being the keyword. How long till they die?
Well, this one, I've guaranteed I've got at least one more year out of it before I have to worry about replacing any more components. So, let's talk wrestling, guys, instead of my cheapness, can we?
But, oh, fine.
No, I'm not Jewish. I'm cheaper than that.
Fine, whatever you say.
There you go.
Yes, Lindsay, yes.
Okay, just making sure. Mm-hmm.
Whoa, you guys talking behind the scenes with the little thing that we give. What,
nothing.
Lindsay, what?
Nothing.
As I just said a year, so in Tim Stein years, that equals, what, 6 weeks?
No, jackass. And yes, guys and gals and everybody else, I called Lindsay Ward a jackass.
How rude of you, Tim.
I know. It just goes to show that I don't play favorites. So what, she has breasts?
You at least call me by my proper title, which is the bitch.
Why would I call you that? I have not noticed that. I mean, it's not like you act like a thundercunt.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I went there. I'm sorry. Are you going to be in trouble now?
No, but just back don't. And please don't.
Yeah, I apologize. Well,
such an insincere apology from Tim Stein.
I do, but I don't. You know what I mean?
So, something close to Lindsay's heart that she wants to discuss, Tim, should bring up.
Oh, Lindsay, AJ and John Cena. You know, it said the current storylines between the two of them, and, of course, with Rosa and Alberto Del Rio. They're being done to cater to the female viewer as part of WWE's new initiative to reach out to the girl demographic.
Yeah, this isn't working. You want to reach out to the girl demographic? It's called one thing. Do a beefcake calendar.
Oy.
Do you like what they did with the divas, except do it with the guys, or even John Cena, and trust me, they'll make money off of it. But this soap opera bullshit? No. This is just crap. If you're going to hook AJ up with somebody, at least hook her up with somebody that it makes sense. Like when she was with Daniel Bryan, it worked. When she was with Punk, it worked. When she was with Kane, it worked. John Cena, no work. Not at all.
Why isn't it working with Cena when it was working with all them other guys?
Because
is it because you don't like Cena?
No, it's because he's the world's biggest Boy Scout. He doesn't fit with her. She's trying to be this... Basically, she went on record and said it, that she's trying to be the sexy girl, and she's not the sexy girl. She's okay. The geeky, dorky tomboy.
Mm-hmm.
And she works with somebody who kind of fits that same genre, like Daniel Bryan, like CM Punk, and even Kane, because he's very much a comic book character brought to life, in a sense.
So she can't be the geeky, dorky tomboy with Cena? Wouldn't that actually work better with the two of them? Instead of her trying to be the sexy girl?
Except Cena's not dorky.
Yeah, okay, but it would be like the straight man to the fall guy, wouldn't it?
No.
No.
And also it's the way that they're doing it. It doesn't make sense. It has no direction. It's not working. I mean, you have Vicky Guerrero as the managing director of Raw. Fine. Doesn't she have anything better to do with her time as, you know, the managing director of Raw than to come out there and show clips of AJ and John Cena?
Yeah.
When is somebody going to point out to her that you're being inept at your job and you need to do your job?
Mm-hmm.
When's someone going to point out the fact that she's not getting anywhere by doing it at this point?
Yeah,
there's a question.
It's so...
Okay, it's... You know, it's fine. Okay, well, okay. You and John Cena were having an affair. No, they weren't. They're both single. But beyond that, when AJ was in charge and Vicky wanted that power back, that's fine. That works. When AJ's trying to get her job back from Vicky, that works. Now it's just dumb. There's absolutely no goal or direction with it. It's just fluff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if you're going to have this storyline to do anything, then it needs to do something. I mean, okay, yes. You got AJ removed from power by using this. Great. You blackmailed her into being your little bitch for a little while. Fine. But, you know, as far as her showing these clips proving the affair was while AJ was GM. Short of the one picture that she's shown, there's nothing that proves there was an affair while AJ was GM. Nothing.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's still continuing, and then you have AJ and John Cena make out, which apparently Cena said is never going to happen again, because I guess Brie or the other Bella got pissed off, whichever one he's dating.
Couldn't tell them apart anyway.
Sorry.
No. You know, it's... Like I said, it's just befuddled. It's confusing. It has no direction. Exactly what Omega said. It has no point at this stage. Because they were building to Ziggler versus Cena.
Yep.
As part of this. And guess what? They gave that to us for free Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
For free, people. You build to this match that we haven't seen either ever or in a very, very long time. And it was a fantastic match that I actually wouldn't have mind seeing on a pay-per-view. But no, yeah. They give it to us for free. And instead, what we're probably going to end up getting is Vicky and Dolph versus Cena and AJ.
Yeah.
Which I could give two fucks about.
That sounded sarcastic coming from you.
Sarcasm? Me? What? Never.
Was that sarcasm?
Just a little.
Do
we have to get the sign for you, Tim? Really?
Yeah. I tried throwing that in before you had a chance to say a goddamn thing. So there.
I don't mind soap opera angles. What they're doing right now in TNA with Brooke and Bully works for me.
Okay.
Because it's not this high school bullshit drama. It actually makes sense. It has logic behind it. The Vicky... Cena, Dolph, AJ angle has no logic. It has no anything behind it. I mean, I'd rather it that, you know what, when she says, well, guess what? I'm not the boss anymore, so I can do whatever I want. I can sleep with whoever I want. You tell her to, you know, fuck off, Cena, and she goes to the back and she finds a guy and she does that.
Mm-hmm.
She either goes to Brian or she goes to Kane or she goes to Punk or she goes to somebody else. You know, I've proven my point. I don't have to stand these allegations. Guess what? You got me fired. Fuck off.
So there you go. Yeah. Interesting. Well, that was Lindsay's take on the whole thing. Do you have a take, any take on it, Omega?
Thought I gave you my take. It led into Lindsay's take.
Any further take on it?
No.
Basically,
I have completely taken it.
Do you have any rebuttal to Lindsay?
Not really. Completely agree with her.
Just wondering. Just asking. Just making sure that everybody's got their shit out there. You know what I'm saying?
What about you, Tim? Do you have a rebuttal?
Oh, the whole thing's just stupid. Thank you for playing.
Keep listening for more insightful comments from Tim Stein right here on WrestleTalk Radio, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented by TweakedAudio.com.
Hey, grab a pair. Get tweaked. There you go. So... Guess who's going to the Alamo Dome?
Could it be TNA Wrestling?
Yes, it is. What do you think of that idea? Is that a good move, going to the Alamo Dome?
I'm reserving judgment.
How many people do you think they're going to get? Seriously.
It all depends on if they have a plan.
Okay, here's the thing. How many people could be crammed into the Alamo Dome?
Do you know, Tim?
I'm taking a guess here. 80,000.
Well, that's close. I think the building holds 70.
Okay. Well, now does that include floor seating? Does that include floor seating?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so So around 70,000 people. Yeah, TNA going to the Alamo Dome, a place that'll hold that many. And how many are they going to draw? Seriously, they're not going to fill the stadium.
If they rope it off, they take it down to 20,000. But even still, I don't think they can pull 20,000 unless they have something up their sleeve. That's the only thing I can figure. And we talked about this Thursday as far as what they could potentially have. And they're going to have a name. They're going to have somebody they can announce in advance that's going to be there, that's going to draw.
John Cena.
Yeah, that's right up there with Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker as far as never happen.
Yep.
I have to agree with you on that one.
The only name that we could conservatively come up with that even was a possibility, and that's if they could even afford him, would be Austin.
Mm-hmm.
But
and I don't see Austin as even a possibility.
No, I think he's loyal WWE.
Yeah, I think Austin is WWE, kind of like The Rock or Shawn Michaels.
Rock or Shawn Michaels or Chris Jericho, or face it, anyone who's anyone in the WWE, in the world of wrestling, knows that if they really want a payday, WWE will give it to them.
Yeah.
You know, TNA would have to, you know, take the entire year's salary to afford an Austin or a Jericho to do anything major in the company.
Well, basically, Spike's going to have to foot the bill for them, like they do with Sting and Angle.
Because that $500,000 a year on Sting is really paying off.
Yeah, right. Apparently, he's resigning for another year, so more Sting in 2013.
Yay!
Great. So that breaks down to what, $100,000 on parents?
More than like $50,000 on parents.
That's still a pretty damn good payday for 10 working days a year.
But yeah, so does this mean that Hogan is going to be the guy they have to focus this big event around?
God, I hope not.
Well, who else are they going to build it around?
Okay.
Really, seriously. Hogan will still bring people into the building. Whether you like him or you're fed up with him, it's just a fact of life. It's going to happen.
Yeah, but Hogan isn't the draw he was 10 years ago.
No, he wasn't. He's not the draw he was 5 years ago. Never mind 20.
Yeah, well, between the involvement in TNA, his own two attempts at reality shows, yeah, his star has kind of dwindled a lot. Do we even know, like, what's the biggest attendance TNA's even had?
I think they've done 7,000 in the UK.
So yeah. In the UK, they could fill a tenth of the Alamo Dome.
I was just about to say, stay out of the UK.
Bound for Glory did 2,900.
Ooh.
And that's a sad fact, that after 10 years, your big draw is 2,900 people.
Mm. You, God.
Think about that.
That is sad. You could hold this pay-per-view in the lobby. They don't even need the arena.
You do a parking lot show. Woohoo!
that could work. Just, you know, call it Tailgate Takeover or something. Do it catchy.
That was a good one. Tailgate Takeover. Or Tailgate Takedown, even. Maybe not.
As Tim now steals the idea for Canadian All-Pro Wrestling.
I do not think so. Just because.
And I guess...
Just because you have to pay Omega royalties, right, Tim?
I do not think so.
And I guess they're banking on the fact that they're trying to make it for the folks that can't go to Mania in that area can go to Lockdown instead. I don't know, because they moved it up to before Mania.
Uh-huh.
So, like I said, they've got to have a game plan for this. They have to have some rhyme or some reason other than Dixie got a wild hair up her ass and she decided to say, oh, hey, let's book a 70,000 seat arena and take a massive bath on this and maybe even possibly run the company out of business.
Well, hold on a second. They're losing two pay-per-views over this.
Haven't we said that'd be a good thing for TNA for years, though?
But it's not, they're not losing over this. It's as a plan. This is what they're doing.
They're doing it so that when they actually do get there, it's going to be a much bigger deal because they've had a lot longer time to build it up. Which, in a clever way, actually does balance out. Not only do you free up the budget to afford such a huge event, but you also space the events out so that each one's more important and a little bit bigger.
And Dixie Carter's been in favor of this idea for a while now.
Well, this is nothing that the internet wrestling community hasn't harped and bitched about ever since WWE had 14 pay-per-views a year, even before then, when they went over-bloated with that before they cut back.
Right.
You know, and we've bitched and complained about it. You don't need 12 goddamn pay-per-views in a year. There's nothing wrong with, even if you offer 9 in a year, 10 even.
Right.
That gives you time at least to build something up for one of your big shows to make it even bigger. And I don't know. Hey, maybe Dixie's got people listening to to people like us and thinking, hey, you know what? That might work.
Right, and this time, because I guess they were able to renegotiate the contract with In Demand and all the pay-per-view providers, because that's what's held them back before, is all their pay-per-view contracts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good idea for them, because the one thing TNA is known for right now is their long-term storyline building.
Yep.
And this can help. Because let's face it, they don't draw that much on pay-per-view, so making the event special.
All of this, I'm sorry to cut you off, Rock, but this whole thing has just got me thinking about something. Normally, we're pretty much, let's face it, we're bitching and complaining that there's no proper build-up to a storyline or an angle between pay-per-views, because you've only got, like, basically 3 weeks to pull something together, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether or not you extend the feud after the pay-per-view and all of that stuff, still, what do you guys think? And this is totally off script from what we've been talking about. What do you guys think about if they actually get two different major storylines simultaneous, where the one storyline starts, you don't have the payoff or continuation at the pay per view, you concentrate on one that is currently going, and you got them running tandem, and you basically leapfrog. You know, you alternate with them. Would that help build up with everything?
No, because if you leapfrog like that, people will lose interest.
Will they? Because you don't think that a 2 hour or 3 hour or 5 hours worth of wrestling a week can build that up if it's done perfectly?
Not if you look flighty and inconsistent about it.
Well, that's the thing. You got to be consistent about it.
Because here's the thing. TNA only has 2 hours of TV a week.
Yeah.
And then they have their house shows. So realistically, their broadest audience only sees their TV shows. So if you alternate storylines every other week, people aren't necessarily going to have as much interest as if you continued every week. It's just like what WWE did during the brand split.
Yeah, okay, well, that was where I was going to go next. It's like, it probably wouldn't work so good with TNA, but what about if they did something like that? Would be more likely to work in WWE.
They did that, and nobody watches SmackDown.
No, I'm not talking brand split. I mean, what's your main feud on Raw right now?
John Cena and AJ.
What's your main feud on SmackDown?
I couldn't tell you, I haven't watched it.
Big Show and Sheamus.
Something, yeah.
Big Show and Sheamus. So you've got two that are running concurrently on two different nights. What if you had four running concurrently on two different nights? And when you've got this one that you're pushing to be on the next pay-per-view, which is, Cena and Punk or whatever, And then on the next, it followed up by show and
basically what you're saying is every month you blow off another feud while you're building them up on TV every month, every
not
week.
So blow it off, but you have it so each feud doesn't last. You know, doesn't go boom 1 month and then you get your payoff, but you stretch it out over 2 months. And then that way you can use this one feud to have your payoff at this pay-per-view, whereas the other feud has the payoff at the next pay-per-view. Instead of doing two main stories, one on SmackDown, one on Raw, and then the rest of the card. You know what, do you understand what I'm saying now? You got two things going on Raw. You got 3 hours to present it. Why not? SmackDown is only 2 hours. Fine. But you could still pull it off something almost exactly the same idea.
But here's the thing, if you want to do that, you still have to have people watch that second show.
Yeah, and that's why...
And if
why
people don't watch that second show, it doesn't work.
That's why you have them both running concurrently on the one night. And then you have the two running concurrently on the other night. Get it?
Get it, but you still have to watch it. That's the thing, you still have to make it interesting enough for people to watch it.
That's just the case of, you know, creative writing it properly, that's all. Now, let's just, for the sake of argument, say that creative actually has decided to deliver consistently compelling shows. Do you think that WWE could pull something like this off? Provided all the stars line up and all the cards fall in the right place.
No.
You don't think so? Okay. Omega, what about you?
Army wants to say anything could happen in the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got all the money and talent they could want in order to actually do anything at this point. But it's a matter of execution and consistency. And one thing WWE hasn't nailed in years is consistency.
Mm-hmm. Now, does this speak to creative's inability to be able to hold two threads together, or does this speak to the viewer's inability to follow two things at once? I mean, not everybody can walk and chew gum at the same time, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you can't. I don't know, WWE's kind of underestimated its audience for a long time now.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is one of the problems. They still treat wrestling fans as ignorant idiots, and yeah, there's plenty of those out there.
Yeah, there's one or two.
But the fact you're not reaching a larger audience, or the fact you're not doing what you used to do, is because your stuff just isn't very intelligent anymore. See, Vicky and AJ.
Yep. Okay. So it's kind of I don't know, maybe a mixed bag of both. What do you figure?
Yeah, a little bit here, a little bit there.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. Anyway, there's that, and sorry to bring up something we hadn't planned on talking about, but it just got me, you know, curious.
Tim, it's still WWE's biggest problem is trying to keep people tuned in for 3 hours.
Well, there's only one reason for that, is because they're only concentrating on one major thing, right?
There's two things running on Raw right now.
You know, and yeah, they're both poorly written.
So we gotta get some new creative writers in there and all that fun stuff. But the show Monday was better because a certain somebody was not on, you know, there.
Yeah, that's the speculation from the dirt sheets. Yes, the show was supposedly better because it was Triple H and there were no last second rewrites because Vince wanted something different. And sure, speculation from the dirt sheets aside, that sounds like a very plausible reason.
It wasn't even speculation from the dirt sheets. We knew he wasn't there, and I enjoyed it. We knew he wasn't there because he was overseas.
Yeah, he was visiting the troops.
Yeah, no, that part's not speculation. What I'm saying is speculation is the part where it was better because he wasn't there.
Well, you could tell.
You could just tell. It was a lot more enjoyable, the show Monday.
Everyone had a much more relaxed feel to them. I mean, even the announcers were much more relaxed. If you listen to Lawler and Cole, they were taking quips at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going back and forth, and they had a much more natural back and forth to them than they normally do when Vince is there.
Yeah.
Yelling in their ear and pushing for them to say certain things. I mean, just everything had a much more relaxed feel.
Well, it gets distracting when somebody's in your ear, whether they're right or wrong.
And then beyond that, the show made sense. Like, it actually had a natural
progression.
Again, progression and flow to it that it's lacked in recent weeks, where it's very schizophrenic and it skips around. The show built to the main event of that night. Wasn't the best main event, but it built to that point. Mm-hmm. And it made sense by the time they got to Punk and Kane why they were there and what happened with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, to this I say, Vince, take more vacations, please.
So, yeah, there you go. That being said, why don't we dive into the round table?
This would be the round table. Anthony Dancy round table with no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
I think we should play that again. Kidding, kidding, kidding. All right, here's your roundtable question for the night. Everybody in the chat room, feel free to play along. Which lower tier talent is most deserving of a proper push? Think about it for a second, and we'll start with Omega.
One to go with the easy one, Zack Ryder. I mean, I'm not saying main event him, but dude made a star out of himself. Got himself to be a merchandise leader with Punk and Cena, and it didn't cost WWE a single solitary dime to do it. In the fact, they did nothing to capitalize on it and did whatever they could to bury the guy is criminal.
Well, would you figure that that was basically a kick in the nuts from Vince for saying, how dare you make yourself into something without me?
Partially, yeah. It's kind of a little bit. It feels that way, yes. Because like, I think it got to the point where they had to give him the U.S. title. They had to do something with him just to momentarily bank, you know, on this sudden surge of popularity. But you could tell that this wasn't anything they planned for or really desired. So when it did come up, they really didn't feel like doing anything with it.
Yeah. Okay, so.
You know, in which case we go back to our argument about, well, they're not using their talent, their under talent properly.
That's just an age-old argument, I think, at this point in time. Lindsay, let's hear from you, hon.
I would either have to say Michael McGillicuddy or Tyson Kidd.
Ah.
Now you're just sucking up.
I'm not sucking up.
Wait a second. Who is she sucking up to, Omega?
Well, obviously I'm a huge McGillicuddy fan, so there you go.
Okay, so she's sucking up to you.
I mean, I just... Michael McGillicuddy, at least on Twitter, he's really entertaining. And I don't know, I want to see more of him. And just, you never see him. You know, it's like he's Kurt Hennig's son, so you know he's got talent.
And of course, I'm a big fan of my friend Tyson Kidd.
No!
Tyson Kidd's just a phenomenal wrestler. He's really good. Especially since he got rid of that ugly little mohawk thing he had growing on the front of his head.
What did you guys call it, Omega?
I was not what we called it. You know, well, Spud claimed it was pubic hair growing out of his forehead.
Forehead pubis. Yeah, it was weird hairstyle. I'll admit that, but you know that was him. I think maybe he was told to cut it and let his hair grow out a bit. All because Vince heard Spud call it pubic hair on his head.
Well, they do listen to us.
Well, it's no secret. That we are spied on. So, I mean, WWE is not the only people that spy on us, let's face it. It's important people, too, like all these other internet podcasts and stuff.
So, Tim, I ask you the question, what talent, lower tier talent is most deserving of a proper push?
Well, I wouldn't say just one guy in particular as opposed to a class of wrestlers. I've always been a fan of the cruiserweight wrestlers. The guys, yeah, they're smaller, but they can move faster and they can put on a more entertaining show. So guys like Tyson Kidd, you know? Just there's your example. It's just not TJ or Tyson, but guys along the same look, the same build, the same attributes.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that would be the tier I think WWE should actually focus on again. I mean, they should bring back the cruiserweight title, in my opinion. And have the cruiserweight division stand up, and that's WWE's version of the X division. Why not? So that's my answer. Rock, what's yours?
Alex Riley, when healthy, they should push him again.
Who's Alex Riley?
The guy who was with The Miz.
Who's Alex Riley?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
But he has the look, and he can talk on the mic.
Yeah.
That could get him over. And he was starting to get over, and then for some reason got an argument with John Cena, and well, his push went away.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, I just noticed in the football game, both defense decided to take the rest of the night off. What's with that?
Not commenting, Tim.
You're not commenting because your team's down by 3 points, but they've got the ball and they're marching it. Of course, they're 2nd and 7 right now.
And
you're
you,
just
and if
you're
you
just
could, if you could big, do if you could do math, it's 4 points.
No.
Which means Billy has to score a touchdown to win this game.
Yeah, points to tie it. And then they, what, you guys don't do overtime on the regular season?
But they're down 4.
Yes, I know. Yes. They still need a major. Oh, forget it now! Is he going to break? He's going to the house. Yeah, game's over. Sorry, Rock. I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh.
Oh, he even did a little dance into the end zone.
Yeah, did you notice that, Lindsay? Were you cheering for the Eagles?
Well, I kind of had a small hope that if they were going to win one, this would be the one they would win because, you know, it's the Cowboys and...
It's Dallas.
It's the Cowboys. Yeah. No offense, Kane Kittens, but yeah, I'm sorry, Rock. Yeah. I think this one's done.
You see, if this was a CFL, I'd be thinking, yeah, no worries, they can get it back. But now, no, game's pretty much over. And Rock has finished talking with us for the rest of the night. You know that, right?
No. They know from Monday. Lindsay knows from Monday. I just go.
Heavy sigh.
I'm sure he will be with the group that's waiting at the Philly airport for them to get back so they can punch Andy Reid in the nuts.
Ooh.
I think the line's starting now.
Anyway,
Tim, break.
Yeah, everybody, we're going to take our second time out of the evening to listen to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Hey, Rock, why don't we open up the phone lines in case anybody wants to call in and say hi?
They could, but on the other side of the break, we're getting you and Omega to talk about the most beautiful people in sports entertainment history.
Ooh, that's going to be painful. Yeah, everybody, stay tuned for that. Plus, pick 'em and a whole lot more coming up on the other side of the break. We'll be back right after this.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix got off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait, made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is
idea.
Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a good thing or something.
Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world gangbang style.
Weird. Wow. Comes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck? Oh, I thought the people are going to be showing at the party. Oh, you done the battle over here.
That's the horse you have, that's the horse you have. Not the pelvic thrust. Is that Mr. Sulu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't want to be.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. Wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless us, made in America.
Whoa, everybody, this is Johnny Cashmere here from Johnny Cashmere's Wake Up Call right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Every Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, join me and a new guest or two each week for a Wake Up Call dealing with subjects like consciousness, the paranormal, spirit. Maybe we can talk some Zen, some metaphysics. We could talk some Bigfoot. We could talk some Loch Ness Monster, cryptozoology, physics, the holofractographic universe. I could go on and on. We have top guests from shows like Ancient Aliens, like guests from Sci-Fi's Fact or Faked, Paranormal Files, and of course, some of the top experts in all of these fields from around the world. We have authors, we have lecturers, you name it, we got it right here on wildtalkradio.com.
Hey, you.
Yes, you listening to WTR. You got an iPod, MP3 player, or some kind of Android device? Well, then why don't you go and get Tweaked? Tweaked Audio is high-performance, noise-reducing earbuds for simply awesome audio. There's four styles and six colors to choose from, so Tweaked Audio has a pair for everyone. You'll love the intense sound of all the Tweaked Audio products. They guarantee it. In fact, you get a lifetime limited warranty with all the shit they sell. Designed to sound great for music and talk, engineered for durability. Get your buds in red, blue, green, black, silver, or wood. Okay, that's not really a color, but they look pretty f***ing sweet. Four styles to choose from. Tweaked California, Tweaked Classic, Tweaked Parkour, and Tweaked Natural. Tweaked Audio earbuds retail from $19.95 to $34.95, but they're giving WTR listeners a deal. Because Wild Talk Radio rules and our fans rock. Just use the special code WILDTALK or WTR. Get your buds starting at only $12.95. Head on over to tweakedaudio.com. Grab a pair. Get tweaked. Tweaked Audio.
I think I'm
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
See, I just can't stand.
And you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
That really move on. I said,
you've got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old past said. Boy, you got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend.
Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night, because Tim Stein doesn't want to do his own comeback for the show again.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out what the hell is that movie that song is from.
Toy Story.
Thank you!
Yeah, Woody, I figured you would know.
Woody, fuck you. Oh, by the way, if that jackass Ian is listening, hey Ian, how you doing? And I'm not talking about the guy that I was talking to on the phone earlier today. I'm allowed to call him names because he's a friend of mine. As a matter of fact, he's in the chat room, his name is Caspian. And coming up pretty soon, you guys are going to hear a lot more about
Caspian,
him.
Caspian, I love your C.
Yep, he's got a good C. Big, deep blue C. Deep blue C. Yeah, anyway, so there's your shout-out, Caspian. Get off my case and quit sending me text messages. No, I'm kidding. Everybody, we're going to open up the phone lines. What the hell? If you got a cell phone or a home phone, you want to call in and give a shit, dial 267-297-1397. You'll get to us directly. No waiting. Of course, if you have Skype, then just Skype Sir Rockin, R-O-C-K-I-N, and that's two words, Sir space Rockin. And we'll bring you on and let you talk about weird things, you know. Who knows? Maybe we'll get a phone call from Norbert or whatever his name is.
Anyway, I think this is the time.
That wasn't a suggestion. So yeah. You wanted to talk about the most beautiful people
we
in sports
want,
entertainment.
I know
history.
I want your opinion. I know Lindsay wants you and Omega to discuss the most beautiful people in sports entertainment history.
That means I've got to copy this link and then
look
paste
at
it in my browser.
Yes.
I just want a reasonable explanation as to why the WWE thinks that Batista is prettier than Shawn Michaels. I demand answers.
I can't give you one because I think they're both butt fucking ugly.
How can you call Shawn Michaels ugly?
Because he doesn't do it for me?
Omega, defend your man!
Omega's just like not saying a damn thing.
Why?
What's up?
Why am I here? Why? Why the... I didn't even get a chance to look at the list. How does Batista even rank?
Michaels ranks at like 17 and Batista ranks at 11.
Oh, maybe Batista swallowed and Sean spat. Who knows? Was that over the line? Ask Pat Patterson. I'm sure he'll be able to answer.
Oh, jeez. Doesn't this go back to Vince's fetish for big men?
Okay, that's just another can of worms.
Let me put it like this. Batista ranked higher than Triple H, who fell at number 44.
Well, look at it. At least they've got a virgin on the list, right? At number 45?
Molly Holly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and right after Triple H, they've got the slut and the cat.
There you go. Talk about a sandwich. Oops.
Hey, Eric Bischoff is on this list. What the hell?
Okay, whose idea, once again, whose idea was this list?
Stevie Wonder's, apparently.
No, whose idea was it to include this list in our rundown for tonight's show?
Who do you think?
Rock.
Hey, I got it approved.
Who'd you get it approved by?
Lindsay.
Lindsay? I'm sorry, no. Maybe on Thursday night.
Hey, I sent you the format last night. You could have said something.
No, actually, I didn't even get a chance to look at it because it's on the other hard drive.
Whose fault's that?
But what the hell is Jack Briscoe even doing on the list? Never mind at 38. The hell is that?
He's ahead of the Bellas.
28. That is on here. That's it. I'm shutting it down.
Jeff Hardy is at number 28.
Oh, God.
You know what? I'm sick and tired of hitting next on this and letting it take forever to load up. Is there anywhere where it's just, like, listed out?
I've been trying to find one. I couldn't find the full one.
So it's not even worth... Like, Kimberly Page is at 36. I've seen that woman naked. She deserves to be higher, just on that basis.
So based on seeing people naked, they should be higher.
Well, no.
Maria's at number 32. Do you know how wrong that is? She needs to be higher.
My point, Omega, is I've seen what she looks like naked. She deserves to be higher on the list just because of how she looks naked.
Okay, so you should make that same determination about Shawn Michaels.
I have seen him naked and don't care to. Thank you.
You have Jeff Hardy at 28 and Lita at 26. And in between them is David Otunga.
Did you just use the word Lita?
What I want to know is why is Magnum TA on this list? If it were for most epic mullet, yes, absolutely. But otherwise, what the fuck, y'all?
Who wrote this list that even remembers Magnum TA?
But coming in at number one was Miss Elizabeth.
All right, well, there's nobody in hell gonna say anything bad about that.
It was surprising.
Yeah, it's an interesting choice, especially since Trish is like number two or number three.
Number three. Trish is at three.
Robbery.
Stacy Keibler at number six. She has to be at number four just because of those legs. Come on.
Was her theme song.
And how fitting was that?
And she's now covered with George Clooney's musk.
Ew.
Oh. You've just ruined Stacy Keibler for us.
And I don't care what you say, Edge in profile has the weirdest looking chin on the planet. That picture of him they used makes him look like those guys in the Geico commercials or whatever it is with the Neanderthals.
So the question I'll have Omega answer is, why is Randy Orton, you know, more beautiful than Trish Stratus?
Maybe Pat Patterson was the one who put this list together.
Except Andre the Giant isn't on it. I want to know why Damian Sandow and Daniel Bryan aren't on this list.
You would figure the beard would be on the list, but...
It's a crying shame. Lingle is down at 20. That woman's hot.
So there you have the most beautiful people in sports entertainment.
History.
History.
And Austin's not on the list either. Damn crying shame.
I'm not losing sleep.
Okay. God, every list we talk about on the show is more ass backwards than the last.
All right. I think this is it. It's time to get everybody ready. People, we're going to do WTR Pick'em.
Do we have to?
Yeah, we're doing TNA's Final Resolution pay-per-view. And we're going to start now. Now, for those of you who have not played yet, don't know what's going on, all you got to do is tell us who you think is going to win. That's it. Just like, here's the match. Who's going to win? We don't need a detailed explanation or any of that crap. Kane Kittens is going to do a spreadsheet. He's going to keep track of everybody and who they vote for or pick, as it were. Of course, Kane Kittens is asking me, so because he doesn't get that Dallas has won the game at 30 seconds left to play. But I'm trying to draw this out, Kane Kittens, so you better appreciate it. So all you got to do is put it in the chat room, or you can tweet Rock, Wild Talk Radio.
At Wild Talk Radio, yes.
Or you can post it to the Wild Talk Radio.
and all your emailing is who you think is going to win the matches.
Right.
So here we go.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah, TNA Final Resolution, pick them. Yeah, and I kept stopping and stalling and everything just to appease King Kittens. Just waste a little bit of time so he doesn't get all in a tizzy because he's all upset that he wants to watch the football game. Anyway, whatever. Let's start with the main event. The world title up for grabs. We've got Bobby Roode taking on Jeff Hardy. Sir Rockin', make a pick.
That's the sound of someone who doesn't want to answer.
Yeah, Sir Rockin', make a pick.
For what match? I was watching the end of the game. What match are you talking about?
Blah, blah, blah. Bobby Roode versus Jeff Hardy for the world title.
Hardy.
Okay. Lindsay.
Hardy.
Okay. Omega Tryon. He hates when I call him that.
Yeah, I do.
I'm sorry, you're listed on my Skype that way.
Am I nothing but a toy to you, Tim Stein?
I'm not even touching that. Forget it. Just pick a goddamn winner.
So if Omega was a toy, what the...
No!
I don't know. Ask Lindsay that question.
No, I'm his favorite toy. Get it right.
Let's see. We were giving you the chance to reverse it. Anyway, pick a winner, Omega. Roode or Hardy?
Are they still trying to make Hardy happy? Are they still sucking his dick? Yes.
Probably. Yeah, there you go. So there's Hardy.
It's going to be Hardy.
And I'm picking Hardy as well. One final time, Christopher Daniels versus AJ Styles. Reverse order. Omega pick first. CD versus AJ.
Daniels.
Okay. Lindsay.
Yeah, I've got to go with Daniels on this one, with the way that they're playing AJ right now.
Yeah.
I'm going with one half of bad influence in the ring general, Christopher Daniels.
Alrighty then, Rock.
Daniels.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to make that one unanimous and pick Daniels as well.
Sure took long enough to give that tag team a name.
I'll tell you. Oh, hey.
Well, they were the World Tag Team Champions of the world, and then they lost the belts, and then they were just awesome after that, so.
Well, they should be the world number one contenders of the world or something. I don't know. Up next is the Knockouts title, Mickie James versus Tara, Lindsay.
The concession stand.
No, okay. No. This is TNA, not WWE. Remember that.
Oh, that's right, right. This is good women's wrestling.
Right.
There's an oxymoron. Mickey Tara.
I'm going to go with Tara with assist from... Actually, I'm going to go with Mickey by DQ with an assist from Jesse for Tara.
Ooh. So Tara retains the belt then.
Tara keeps the belt, but Mickey wins.
Okay. Omega.
Actually, I'm just going to give Mickey a clean win.
Wow. Mickey and clean. Obviously, she's not wrestling Lita. Yes, I know. Leave the bit jokes.
Leave it to the pose, yeah.
There you go. Okay, so, you know, well, there you are. This one's a toss-up. Oh, boy.
I thought we stopped talking about Lita.
I said toss-up, not toss-off. I like them both. Okay, Tara retains the title. That's my pick-em, as it were. Up next, World Tag Team title, Matt Morgan and Joey Ryan.
Don't I get a pick?
Hell no, because you're a jackass. What's your pick?
Terror with a dirty win.
All right. World Tag Team title up next. Matt Morgan and Joey Ryan versus Chavo and Hernandez. And here we go again. Omega.
Do I have to?
Yes.
Chavo.
That must have hurt.
The power of dead relatives.
By the power of Grayskull. And I'm not going to finish because that would just get really wrong if you go any further than that. Lindsay, pick.
This is going to hurt, but Morgan and Ryan.
I don't know. That's
either way.
Yeah, it's painful either way. I mean, it's this is the bathroom break for me. But yeah, they're building Morgan, they're building Ryan, and Chavo's at this point kind of plateaued. So.
Mm. Okay. Well, Rock, pick 'em.
Morgan and Ryan ever have a tag team match together? No. Well, maybe not. But they're number one contenders anyway, and they're going to get the belts.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I think the shine's off travel, as it were, having gone to TNA. I've got to say Morgan and Joey Ryan.
The shine is off, and the ball has been dropped.
Yeah, now this match is likely to happen. And if it does, then that's awesome. If it doesn't, well, so what? It's a bonus question anyway. So we're taking a look at Bully Ray versus Austin Aries. Bully Ray versus Austin Aries, and let's go to Rock.
This is actually a tough one. Austin Aries gets the win, and there's some sort of, you know, shenanigans with Brooke. There's some sort of distraction, and that leads to Bully losing the match.
Okay. Lindsay?
Yeah, I see Austin initially picking up the win through some sort of shenanigans, either with Hulk or with Brooke or something like that, if it happens.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Omega.
Bully.
Wow, okay. Now, are you going to say Bully Ray wins because Brooke comes up and distracts Austin? Just to be different from everybody else? Yeah, I'm gonna go with Austin Aries for the win on that one. That's my pick'em. And there it is, the TNA final resolution pick'em, of course. This is just the beginning of it. Everybody, if things change throughout the week, you have until noon Eastern, is it, Rock? On
I might move it back a little bit, but yeah, Sunday afternoon. We'll say you can send in your picks and tune in to Rock Thursday. We'll probably have the complete card then.
And so,
And Rock and Mine's picks will probably change. FYI, Kane Kittens.
Yeah, they might.
Yeah. And by the way, Kane Kittens, if Rock picks on Thursday, don't put him down twice. Just use his final pick. Just saying.
That as like an outdated pick, just so we can torment him if he did a lot better.
He keeps all the picks correct. He keeps them all right down. Tim gets confused.
I don't get confused.
Yes, you do.
Like, your name once and I'm not looking for it twice. That's not confused. That's like, what that? You're like super redundancy. Just put the one down. Anyway.
Again, Tim gets confused.
Anyway, why don't you hit the classified?
Rock official, Rock unofficial.
Yeah, there you go. Rock, why don't we hit the classified ads?
I think we need a little question and answer time.
It's now time for this week's edition of Boy.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Or some.
No! 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 No!
Buy or sell the first question, the reunion of the Hardys in WWE in 2013. Oh my god.
Sell, please sell. That's coming from Matt, who thinks that his job is assured if he can tag with his brother again. He ain't up to par with WWE these days. I've seen him. He's let himself go. I don't think they're going to want him back at this point. I think even WWE acknowledges Jeff is just as bankable as the Hardy Boys together.
Lindsay.
Sell it. Burn it, nuke it, don't want it.
I think that's a no.
I think that's a no, yeah. Tim.
Yeah, sell it. No, just forget it. I'm sorry, Matt's eating way too many grapes. He's kind of fat in the belly. And I just don't want to see him work ever again.
Grapes.
You brought up grapes. Really? You went there?
Yeah, I did.
It's like Richard Pryor claiming milk and cookies.
Oh, that was great.
Except in Matt Hardy's case, it really is milk and cookies.
Yeah, is Richard Pryor, you know, mixing the whole milk with the low fat, dipping the cookie, and the shit blew up in his face? Come on, that was funny.
It's a funny bit. That's why I referenced it.
Thank you. I'm just, you know, agreeing with you that it was funny. It wasn't George Carlin, but it was still funny. Watch Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure again the other day. You're just priceless.
Buy or sell, re-signing Velvet Sky is a good move for TNA. Lindsay.
Buy it. They need women bad.
Simple to the point. Omega.
Yeah, at this point, anything that improves their women's division is a good move. It's a dumb idea to get rid of her in the first place.
Tim.
Shut up and take my money, Sonny.
Okay. Buy or sell, Tim. Is Twitter a tool for talents, you know, wrestling talents, to say some really stupid things in the public?
Well, it just facilitates them saying stupid shit. I mean, I don't care if you use Twitter or Facebook or if you have your own website. People, you know, talents have been saying some pretty dumb things since before the internet. Twitter just, you know, makes it more immediate.
Lindsay.
More immediate and more readily public.
Yeah.
Lindsay.
And more able for people to claim that their Twitter got hacked. They're gonna name that after Kurt Angle. Oh yeah, my account was Kurt Angled.
For the third time, Lindsay.
Lindsay.
I'm gonna buy it because honestly, if you read some of the WWE guys and the TNA guys' Twitters, they say some really stupid stuff on there. But at the same time, it's also really entertaining. And the old man just needs to get over it and move on. And at least let the son-in-law, who thinks Twitter's an okay thing, take over.
Oh my god.
Yeah, bye. It's so easy to publicly make an ass of yourself these days and reveal just how much bullshit you're filled with.
Usually, you know, like in the past, you had to be on an airplane or something like that, coming back from England to make an ass of yourself.
Honestly, there's a huge part of me that wants wrestling to never use Twitter again because I'm so fucking sick of the dirt sheets trying to make news out of every single goddamn tweet on the planet.
Yeah,
but then we wouldn't have CM Punk anymore.
I don't give a shit what some asshole who couldn't even make it through developmental says about Bill DeMott. It shouldn't be a page long report.
Do you ever get the feeling that Omega likes being on the Sunday Night Show because he can just like let loose and actually say a 4-letter word once in a while?
Fuck yeah.
See? Told you. Of course, we're referring to, what do you call that, your plastic addict shit?
Yeah, the YouTube channel's PG.
Yeah.
Where he's reviewing it.
I'm a big boy here.
Yeah, where he's reviewing a toy every single day.
Yeah, whereas here he gets to talk like a grown-up.
See, Omega, I do look at your stuff beyond, you know, you ranting.
I still think you need a haircut.
Thanks, Mom.
At least put it in a ponytail. Be like every other girl that's respectable. Whoops. Sorry, Omega. I paused this. All right, that's enough. Why don't we move on to the great debate?
No, there's one more.
No, I don't want one more. All right, what's the next one?
Buy or sell CM Punk as Han Solo. Tim.
Yeah, I was trying to avoid this one. CM Punk as Han Solo? Ugh! Damn. Can I lease it with an option to buy?
No.
Damn it. Okay, well, reluctantly, if it's on sale, then I'll buy it. I'll buy it on sale. How's that?
Of course you would.
Yeah.
Lindsay.
Shut up and take my money.
Simple as that.
Simple. Well, unless I get to be, you know, Princess Leia, then I'm totally okay with that.
It's a
good thing I didn't ask who Princess Leia was. Who would be Princess Leia, Rock? When you asked the question,
well,
because
if he's really Han Solo, that actually would probably right now make it Leia. Anyway, Omega.
You just caused Omega to put his money back in his wallet.
Oh God.
God, I can't feel my dick now. Thank you very much.
The reaction is priceless.
You ruined that bikini for me.
Oh.
Yeah, he's got to take it out of his closet and throw it out now, Rod. Good job.
No, I have to take it out of my closet and throw it out.
So, Omega, buy a pie or so.
No, I'm touching that. I'll buy it if you can, costume him well enough to hide the tattoos. I don't see Han Solo with the old 80s Cobra G.I. Joe logo on the shoulder or anything like that. But he's got the charisma for it.
Because he was on Twitter doing Q&A, and he mentioned that he is actually, Han Solo.
I can just so picture him going, yeah, hell yeah, I shot first. I shot second, third, fourth, hang on, bam, shot him a fifth time.
So yeah, that's buy or sell. Now we can move on to him.
Why don't we just get into the great debate?
If you smell what the Rock is cooking.
Are you ready?
It's now time for this week's WTR Great Debate.
Are you serious, bro? What?
Join the hosts as they debate the greatest wrestling entrance theme of all time.
I am CM Punk, and I am the voice of the voiceless.
Now step in to the WTR Squared Circle for this week's Great Debate.
You didn't say that. Tell me you did not just say that.
Up first this week, it's The Undertaker against the BWO. Start with Lindsay.
I miss Taker's music. I miss him. So yeah, Taker. Like there was any guess on that one at all.
No, there wasn't. That's why I went to you first.
Yeah, why did you even bother asking her? Come on.
And now back to the Best of Wrestling News Live with Omega.
Woo!
You know, when you put those two songs together, it so sounds like a round one mismatch.
Well, it kind of is. BWO was a number 10, Undertaker was a 1.
I'll defend how the BWO got to this point because it is a good song. It fits the characters dead on. Mm-hmm. And I love that element of wrestling that ECW had that created the BWO. Just the, we don't give a fuck. This is fun. We're going to do it. I love that. I still like that song. But this is the one, this is the most one-sided match we've had. It's Taker.
Tim.
I'm going to dispute Omega just a tiny little bit about why BWO got as far as it did. Yeah, I think that it had a little more to do with people's idea that it would be funny to have vote for it because, you know, of that Best of Wrestling News Live with DJ Omega. I just, you know, that's just all there is to it. And I think that's the reason why it got as far as it did. You can say no all you want. I'm just saying, you know, that's why, you know, and it's people have there in their head that it's like, oh, it's picking on Omega, so it's funny. But, yeah, no, he's right. It's mismatch. I'm sorry. It's Taker all the way.
So Taker moves on to round number four. Who will join him? Will be Chris Jericho. We're Shawn Michaels.
Oh, fuck.
So let's...
Yeah, cue it up. Come on.
I've got the look that drives a girl wild. I've got the move that really move her. I said chill up and down their spine. I'm just a sexy boy.
Sexy boy.
I'm not your boy toy.
I'm just a sexy
Lindsay,
boy.
You're up first.
I'm not your boy. I've got to go with Shawn on this one. I mean... Jericho and the different incarnations of Break the Walls Down, it's just, I've never really been a huge fan of the song. I like it now, but I haven't liked previous versions. And Shawn, I'm sorry, it's just iconic. The man has had that music for forever. Literally. Since what, the mid-90s, at least?
1992-93.
Yeah, forever. It just... You can't argue with it. Plus, he sings it. He sings his own theme song. Point.
Lindsay, get off the fence and pick. Come on.
Oh, gee, am I on the fence? Let me think about this. Shawn fucking Michaels.
There you go. And I like how you said it, too. That was just impressive.
Thank you.
Omega.
God damn it.
I knew this one would be tough for you.
This is...
Hey, he left me last on purpose, Omega. You're the build-up.
Oh, God damn it.
You got Shawn and Jericho. Who you gonna pick?
No!
Shawnico.
You can't go tie.
Come on, Rock, mix them together and see what happens.
No.
No. Yeah, even I will disagree with that.
That'll melt your
Somewhere Shawn Michaels will go, ooh, there's a disturbance in the force, and kick its head off.
I already used that joke.
He did.
Ah, oh, shit. You know what? Let's be different. I'll say Jericho.
Really?
I love HBK's theme song, and yes, there's bonus points there for singing it himself. The original version was not sung by him, however. They kind of, that was played as part of an element when he ditched his manager. But the reason I put it above Jericho is I liked Break the Walls Down from the get-go, and just like Shawn, Jericho's had that music for a for his entire WWE run. They remix it every now and then, but, you know, even...
Still the same thing.
It's still the same thing. Like, even, you know, you know, even Shawn dropped it when he was in, when he went to, DX. They dropped it again when he came back with the NWO.
No, he used it for the most part. He would drop it for certain things, but, you know, he wouldn't go long without it.
It was dropped when he was coming out as part of the ensemble with everybody else. But he still did use it when he came out on his own. So you're both.
Here's where I give Jericho an edge. Whether Jericho was a comedic face, or a comedic heel from when he first came in, whether he was, you know, the arrogant asshole as the undisputed champion, or when he was, you know, the Bond villain in his. Awesome villain character. The song worked. The song fit the persona. You tweak it, you give it different shades of gray and different elements and attitude to it, but the song still works. HBK's song, Sexy Boy, hasn't been believable for him since his big return, since he started praying on the ramp. And looking away when DX antics involving scantily clad girls walk through. Basically, Christian Revival HBK doesn't fit the Sexy Boy song anymore. The reason it was still there was because of the novelty of how long it's been associated with him. And it's iconic. It should always be. But Jericho's song always worked for him, no matter what. Right now, Shawn's is dated. And that's the only edge I will give Jericho's song over HBK's.
That was tough for you, wasn't it?
Fuck yes.
Oh, heck yes, it was. It was very difficult for him.
Lee. Well, Tim, yeah. Your pick.
What? Yeah, damn it. Shoot. Believe it or not, this is just as tough for me to pick as it was for Omega, if not more so. And, yeah, shock of shock, I'm not just going with the Canadian without even thoughtful analysis. Oh! You know, it was just Jericho with, you know, Break the Walls Down and everything, and it was just the whole idea of him coming into WWE to be who he wound up being, you know, like right straight from the first run to all the different incarnations. And it's like you said, Omega, they tweaked the song. It's basically essentially the same song it has always been. But, you know, there's been a tweak here and a tweak there.
It was slower when he debuted. It was a little slower.
You know, they've kept it updated. They've kept it up with the times, if you will. Right? Shawn Michaels, the only change to his song was when they when he dropped Sherry and he went and sang the version of it himself, and that was it. Other than that, I mean, absolutely no difference whatsoever at all in any way, shape, or form. And as much as HBK's song worked for him, you know, Omega was right. It didn't work when he became a born again Christian. I'm sorry, there is no born again Christian on this planet who's a sexy boy. That's just, unless you're Catholic and you're a priest. Yeah, I know, I went there. I'm sorry. No, I'm not.
The views and opinions of Tim Stein do not reflect those of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Well, actually, sometimes they might, but they won't admit to it. Anyways, yeah, well, you know, why do the choir boys pull down their pants and stick their peepees in the snowbank? Priest likes a couple cold ones after service. Oh, that was terrible. Anyway, moving on.
Bad, too. Bad.
Yeah,
my soul
that was
hurts.
Wrong,
yes.
Dude.
Yes.
Send all hate mail to admin@wildtalkradio.com.
Yeah, and expect a lively debate on religion if you do. Anyway, get back to the topic at hand. As iconic as you guys are calling Shawn Michaels' theme. I have to agree. Yeah, iconic as hell. The only problem is it got tired. It really did. I'm sorry. After years and, you know, like it was, what, a decade and a half? Let's say almost two full decades we've been hearing the same music. And it's just like your favorite pop song after a while. You really don't care about it anymore because you're sick and tired of them playing it every 5 minutes on the radio. It just loses something. And the Sexy Boy lost something. It lost something. It lost its luster. The shine fell off the apple. With Jericho, it just sounds more updated. And Jericho's entrance theme sounds a little more timeless. Yeah, sure. You look at it, it's generic enough. It could be given to certain other superstars, certain other wrestlers, but not anybody walking through that curtain can have that song, just like nobody else can have Sexy Boy. Points to Shawn Michaels for, you know, being the guy doing his own vocals in that thing. You know, and I just want everybody to understand, I'm not picking Jericho's theme because he's Canadian. I don't want you getting that idea, but I'm picking Jericho.
So Chris Jericho moves on.
That might be an upset right there.
It was a two versus a four, so it's a mini upset.
Yeah, I'm just wondering what Mace is thinking. He's listening to the archive right now because he's working, so he's not listening to us live. Listening to the archive, and he finds out Jericho moves on. How did you handle that one, Mace?
We'll get a response at some point. I'm sure
he applauded us for having very logical and well thought out conclusions as to why Jericho's
quit. Quit sucking up.
And then he will swear like a madman.
Yes, he will.
He's recording a response for next week, and I can't wait to hear his recorded reply.
By the way, Mace, please teach me how to speak Australian so I can better be you. Thank you.
Yeah, she doesn't even know what a boomerang is. This sucks.
Well, it's easy to speak like an Australian. First off, what you do is you start out, you talk like a woman, which is basically most of your sentences make it sound like it's a question. We went to the beach, you know. Make sure you just go up on the inflection and the last word.
Anyway.
That's the start.
You are just asking for it, Mr. Stein.
That's a Brisbane accent, actually.
Oh, what are you getting into dialect? Oh my God!
I know.
Come on,
this is where it pays to know voice actors. Okay.
Yeah. I got to tweak Mace. You know, just to let him know we're thinking about him.
So, we're now down to the final eight.
Oh my God, no way, really?
Yeah. Down to the final eight.
What are the final eight?
Next week we're gonna do Honky Tonk Man versus Eddie Guerrero and Edge versus Piper.
Oh shit.
The week after that it's Sandman versus DiBiase and Undertaker versus Jericho.
Oh Christ. Maybe you shouldn't have,
This was hard.
Maybe you should have just listed the four songs and not told anybody who's going up against whom. I'm saying you should have waited until next week.
Yeah, don't even. Yeah.
I'm feeling like I read a SmackDown spoiler and I'm pissed off.
Good.
That's funny. In contrast, I feel like I need that week to figure this out.
Damn it. So yeah, there it is. Yeah, you know what? Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them. Wow. Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
All right, Rock, before you go any further, I just want to say something really quick about me taking shots at religion and Catholicism in specific. Before I get into a lot of trouble with anybody who's, like, really into religion and stuff like that, if you don't like what I have to say, Tell you what, go onto the internet and complain.
Tim, what is the oddest couple of all time?
You bastard.
What?
You did that on purpose.
Did what on purpose?
Ask me that question.
Why?
I don't know. You're the one who thought it up.
You're thinking, oh, there's some sort of backstory to it. No, I just thought of a question.
No, I'm just giving her time. Oh, the oddest couple and... Oh, my God.
Doesn't have to be wrestling.
I know that, yeah. I don't know. You guys probably don't know who this is, but... If you have a copy of the Guinness Book of World Records, like from all of history, turn to the world's tallest man at one point in time. Forget asking me what his name is. I just know. He was like 10 million feet tall, and he was married to a girl that was like 3 feet tall. That was, like, in my opinion, the oddest couple of all time.
Okay.
How's that for going into left field to get the answer?
That's left field. Lindsay, who do you think the better dancer is, John Cena or Daniel Bryan?
Daniel Bryan, all the way.
Why?
He's got the cuter ass of the two, honestly.
Oh,
he asked why.
All right, who invited a woman on this show?
You did.
Oh, shit. Shut up.
He moves it better. I have experience with this from WWE 13. I've seen enough of him do those entrances as Melina that, yeah, he makes the better dancer.
Oh, my God. Does that really count, making him dance in WWE 13? Come on.
We didn't make him dance in WWE 13. We made Kane and The Undertaker and Daniel Bryan do the Eminem intro.
Oh, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah, that was...
And if you want your mind blow further, we had Kane and The Undertaker be Melina and Nitro.
Okay, you're just sick. Okay, that's... You know, people say stuff about me being...
It was Brian. No,
you're
God.
Sick.
No,
that's it. You're sick.
It was Mace that did that. I didn't do it.
I'm still unclean.
And we made him go watch it.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense that it was Mace that did that then. Yeah, great.
Now, Omega, we know you're a big Saturday morning cartoon fan, right?
Uh-huh.
Are you excited for Cena Saturday next week, a part of Vortex on CW?
Wait, what?
Yeah, next Saturday it's called Cena Saturday.
Cena Saturday.
Cena Saturday. Are you excited?
I think it's time to start watching the news. Yeah, you know what? I have this little channel called The Hub that plays all of my favorite 80s cartoons and it'll run about 3 hours of Transformers. I'm okay staying away from the Vortex for one morning.
Okay. Tim.
What?
Let's go way back. Back to high school. Shit. Let's go back to high school. What current WWE diva would you have taken to your high school prom?
Current WWE diva?
Current.
I hate to admit it, but all the current WWE divas would have been in, like, elementary school when I had a high school prom that I didn't go to, by the way. Okay, so they're the same age. They would be the same age they are now or, like, the same age as I was. Whatever.
Yes.
And it's a WWE diva.
Current
WWE. Okay, well, Layla.
Why?
Just because I like Layla's cute. She's the chick that I would have asked to go to the prom. Had I gone to the prom instead of getting stoned. Oh, fuck. I said that out loud.
Okay. Lindsay, who would you rather...
I'm stoned and I missed it.
Lindsay, who would you rather take to a prom? The Great Khali? Or Hornswoggle.
And besides, who doesn't want to go to prom with a leprechaun? Seriously.
Good point. So, Omega.
Mm-hmm.
If you could merge two really bad cartoons together to make the worst cartoon of all the times. What two cartoons?
Oh, come on, you can do this one.
What two cartoons would it be, and why?
The worst two cartoons ever?
Take two really bad cartoons to make the worst one ever.
Two of the worst ever. Oh, boy. God.
Kane Kittens goes as stoned as in biblical, right?
No, Kane Kittens, you prick.
God. I've probably seen far worse cartoons than one of the ones I'm going to name, and the other, no. It is the worst ever produced. Okay, one of them is going to be a cartoon called Sonic Underground. Like, this is Sonic the Hedgehog, except he's a prince, he has siblings, they have magical musical instruments, they do a song number every episode. It's basically Sonic the Hedgehog. It has absolutely nothing to do with fucking Sonic the Hedgehog.
Perfect.
Yeah. And all three hedgehogs are voiced by Urkel, Jaleel White. That includes the female hedgehog.
Oh, good lord.
You know, yeah. Just pay too much about that.
Yeah, I do. Imagine, yeah, go to bed with that in your, with that voice in your head tonight.
It's what Omega does on YouTube, by the way.
It's another sleepless night for me, thanks to Omega.
Well, hey, you can... Now we are together, thanks to Mace.
Oh, sure. He's not here, so you target me. Thanks a lot.
What? You want me to target Lindsay?
I'll sleep regardless, because this shit doesn't affect me, so...
I was just keeping my mouth shut, because even though she says it doesn't affect her, I get in trouble.
For what?
Okay, oh, trust me, I get in trouble.
For what? Say it.
No, I'm gonna.
Say it.
Stop and think about some of the shots that I've taken so far tonight. I've been extremely damn tame. The answer is no, I'm not gonna say it.
Oh, for fuck's sake, Tim, say it.
No.
Pussy.
Anyway, Omega. Continue. You need one.
The other one is called Vanpires. It's V-A-N Pires. This was like when CG cartoons were getting really big and Power Rangers was getting really big, so they tried to do both at the same time. So you had kids turning into like Transformer ripoffs, except done in animation that you couldn't even get out of a high school animation class now. And with the most god-awful writing, god-awful acting, the first episode, you need some weapons-grade narcotics to actually figure out what the hell is going on in the first episode.
So you're going to merge those two together to make the worst cartoon?
Yeah, I'm going to get a show where Sonic and his make-believe siblings, who are all royalty for some reason, transform into robotic CG shitty looking characters to fight, you know, robotic vampires with musical numbers.
And you can catch that review coming soon in the year 2020.
No.
On youtube.com/TJOmega.
No.
No?
No.
No. You won't even review
no.
that one.
There's not enough black tar heroin on the planet to make that cartoon happen.
Oh, nice.
So there you have it. That's Quick Hits.
And that's another edition of Rust Talk Radio WTR, Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Don't forget, next Sunday night, 1 hour later, because we're going on after the pay-per-view. So that'll be 11 o'clock Eastern. Tomorrow night, following Raw, it's the Raw Post Show. 3 hours condensed into 45 minutes. So if you got to work and can't catch 3 hours worth of filler, tune in and listen to Rock and Lindsay talk about it.
Yeah, and feel free to call in and express your opinion as well. It's the Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. live right here on the Raw Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, and of course, on Tuesday night, the guy that thinks I like to take shots at him all the time, when seriously, Alan, I don't think about you at all, even when I go to sleep. And I sure as hell don't think about you when I wake up. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, where Alan, the guy I never think about, interviews people.
Sammy Callahan and Adam Cole will be on the program at a special start time of 10 p.m. Eastern.
Do you think that maybe that was too much of a shot at Alan?
Continue.
I was just, you know, fine. Don't even, like totally ignore it. Thanks a lot, Rock. Sure, you know, put me in even more hot water with him. Wednesday night, just another goddamn wrestling show with the Cheapwood panel. And, hey, Scott Barry talks wrestling with those guys.
Yes. Yes, he does.
Yeah.
So does Spug. So check out the show. It's just another goddamn wrestling show.
Spug actually calls in and yaps at him? Cool. There's a reason to tune in, just because Spug's on the show.
Keep going, Tim.
I'm going to catch all the good people, but I'm going to take them this way. But I'm not. Anyway, Thursday night, it's Lindsay Ward's Rack. Right,
yep,
Lindsay?
We'll have, that's right. Tune in. We'll have the Impact Rundown. We'll do a final pick'em for Final Resolution as it comes up. We'll talk about all the news of notes of the week, if there are any. So tune in, listen to the Rack. By the way, if you want to send us any topics, questions, comments, concerns, send them to media@wildtalkradio.com, because we have no idea what the hell we're going to talk about yet.
Yippee-ki-yay. Ooh, Friday night. Johnny Cashmere really gets into some weird crap with weird people. I'm sorry, that's just no way different of saying it. You know what I'm saying? Omega, you've got to listen to this at some point in time. Have you ever seen Ancient Aliens on History Channel?
No.
Well, we ran a replay of Johnny Cashmere's wake-up call on Friday night. He interviewed, what was his name, Phil Coppins, who's on Ancient Aliens. Do you know the premise of the TV series Ancient Aliens?
How would I know if I haven't seen it before?
Okay, I'm going to explain it to you really quickly, and this will give you an idea of what wake-up call is about. These people take a look at stuff that's considered religious artifact and religious significance and hieroglyphics and drawings and stuff like that all over the world, and come to a conclusion that they were space aliens helping people to build the pyramids, for crying out loud. I mean, it's out there, you know? And he promises just to get weirder and weirder as time goes by. So check it out. A wake-up call Friday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time.
And that was Michael Tellinger, Tim.
Oh, Michael Tellinger. I got him. Phil Coppins was the previous guy. Okay. Yeah, Michael Tellinger. Well, still, Phil Coppins is weird, too. Saturday, midnight-ish, as close as I can get it. CB Radio!
We talk about anything we could possibly think of. Last night was the 5-year show of CB Radio. Did we plan anything? No, but what did we get? We got, you know, trying to get Will a scooter or some sort of transportation, and, you know, he's being a bitch about it. We heard from Subway after his big return to the ring at IPW Hardcore Wrestling's Resurrection in St. Petersburg, Florida, which Alan Logic attended. Subway got bloody, and then you hear his reactions to, you know, him cleaning himself off of all the blood, where he cut himself like 5 times in the forehead. So, you don't never know what we'll do on TV Radio, but it's weird, it's wacky, it's unusual. It's Saturday night's midnight is live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You tried to get Will a scooter? I'm having a hard time picturing that boy on a Vespa.
He was bitching about, you know, transportation. So we were coming up with ideas. One of them was a scooter.
God, tell him to get a job so he can buy a car.
He has a job. He needs more. He needs to make more money.
No, he needs to stop supporting his mom and move out. Oh my God. Will Pulowitz.
That's exactly. So,
yeah,
Will showed up. So, you know, it was a special show. Check it out in the archives.
There you go. And again, of course, next Sunday night, Real Talk Radio takes to the airwaves to review Final Resolution. Once again, 11 o'clock Eastern. That's 9 o'clock Mountain, by the way, Caspian, just so you don't get confused. Just want to make sure he knows. That being said, hey, pay attention to the website, because I'm going to be testing the stream, playing some music, and bringing on various weirdos to just basically shoot shit about whatever is worth talking about, and you never know when I'm going to pop up on the air and do that. So pay attention to the website and Facebook and Twitter. We'll let you know when it's taking place. Who knows? It might actually wind up being, I don't know, entertaining or fun or some shit like that. Right, Rock?
Goodbye, everybody.
Just go with it. Have yourselves a good night, everybody. Catch you next week. Don't worry, I'll wait until you say it was Super Bowl.
Tonight, you know, it was good, Tim. We kind of learned that we can do a show out without an Australian.
Oh, man, and I'm the one who's catching hell for, okay, fine. Pay attention, that was Rock who said it, not me. Guess what? You're listening to a radio station. What one is it? Tell me. Me?
WildTalkRadio.com.